plate a potential nugget.
The other story that jumped at me was a story of Fukushima Daini. You talk about other plant in Japan.
The less well-known one.
Less well-known one. But you talk about the leader there, Naohira Masuda, leading a team of 400 people, working in extreme uncertainty and fragility to achieve cold shutdown and saving thousands of lives.
Yes.
It was. I hadn't heard of that story before, and it was just awe-inspiring. You know, people going without sleep for 48 hours when their life is under threat to do the right thing and saving thousands of lives. Could you talk a little bit about the story and what we can learn from that story here?
Yeah, I thank you for asking about it. I do think it's a very powerful story. And clearly, most of us have never been in that kind of situation, right? Where our actions could literally save thousands of lives, and we're going to go, we have to work at an almost heroic pace over a long period of time, as you said. But what I love about that story is the leader wasn't, you know, profoundly charismatic or larger than life. He was very grounded. He was honest. He was trustworthy. He had their respect, but he did what I think leaders in challenging times and times of upheaval and times of crisis should do more reliably, but often don't, which is tell the truth. Tell the truth about what we know and about what we don't know. And you ask for people. It's like you're not telling people you must do this. And it was very clear in that story. He was asking them, please help. This is what I think we will try. I think it can work. I can't guarantee it, but please help. Please join this effort, because I think if we give it everything we have, we can shut this thing down. And indeed they did. But it's very, his style was straightforward and honest and transparent. Even his style of management, much of it rested on the use of a whiteboard, right? Just a whiteboard to kind of keep capturing the knowledge as it developed. And he's also, he was able to be present and supportive of people and appreciative of the work they were doing along the way.
The other thing that struck me in that story was along the way, they realized that they're sort of working in the wrong direction and they had to pivot.
Yes.
And after about, let's say, 24 hours, including a sleepless night, on a cold day with life under threat, they had to completely change direction, and they did it. It's just
About pivot.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling. And yet that's the way progress is made in a VUCA world, a volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous world. You can do all the best thinking at time zero and believe that path A is the right path. But as you go down it further, you get more information. And then it's not that you were wrong before. It's that you've now learned more and the world has changed maybe a little bit. And then you realize, oops, we got to go down path B. And for most of us, that pivot, that being wrong is devastating. And so you almost want to just give up. But the leadership in this case was about helping people not give up because of what was at stake, and because they had the learning they had done in the failing course of action was mission critical to figuring out what needed to be done next.
I guess something that's probably not as emphasized here is sort of pointing to the broader purpose behind the work here. In this case, for example, was that explicit or was that understood by the team? Is there a piece there around rallying them around the big picture and why we are doing what we're doing?
You know, it's interesting because it would be tempting to think or to conclude that in extreme stress like that, and similarly, for example, in the Chilean mine rescue, that the goal, the purpose, the importance of the purpose is so obvious that the leader doesn't need to refer to it, right? We've got to save many communities from radioactive, you know, catastrophe. Or we've got 33 lives hanging in the balance stuck deep in a mine. It doesn't need to be said, right? Wrong. It does need to be said. Because time and time again, making the purpose explicit, even though it's obvious, is really a powerful thing to do as a leader. Just, I like to say what you're doing is reminding people. And think about the word remind. It's remind. Put it back in your mind, because all of us, especially when you're tired or frustrated or things aren't going well, that emotion and that distraction makes it hard to stay focused on the technical work that you're doing. So a leadership function is to remind people of what really matters. Make it explicit.
Another similar situation where an individual had to act under extreme pressure when his life was under threat was in the case of Captain Sully Sullenberger, who miraculously landed a plane with 155 people without any loss of life onto the Hudson River in New York. One of our earlier guests, Rich Fernandez, CEO of Search Inside Yourself, a leadership development institute incubated at Google, who spoke about it in detail. He brings out the distinction between responding to a situation and reacting to a situation. That is the other piece to bring to your attention here. Before we get into a discussion about how we lead people, I think there's a piece around how we handle ourselves.
For the listeners who aren't familiar with Captain Sully Sullenberger, he's the man who landed the jet plane that was flying over New York City. It flew through a flock of geese, so they lost all jet propulsion, because the geese flew into the engine and burnt them out. So in the space, I think, of about 3 minutes, he had to make a split-second decision to land the airplane on the Hudson River. It was the only available large open space over New York City. But he thought about this very, very calmly. Okay, so I'd ask you to Google or YouTube it. You'll see the interview with him where he explains it. But how did he do that? He says he trained his whole career for it. He said, I have 30 years as a pilot. And so I just know the routines. I knew what needed to happen, right? And he just calmly proceeded to do that. He didn't react and become overblown or overwhelmed by the situation. And this is why, you know, we talk about emotional resilience as being a key quality of a leader in the digital economy.
In my work with leaders, I realized that this piece of emotional resilience doesn't come overnight. It takes years and years of inner work for leaders to be able to be agile and nimble when a tsunami of stress hits them.